With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Morning Show with Preston Scott. How are you? It's Wednesday, July 27th. I'm Preston, that's Grant. Show 4746.
I just start laughing when I think about how many shows we've done.
It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for sharing your time with us. You're just rolling out of the rack. Make it a great day. Make the decision to have a great day. Our verse today comes from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 through 29, where it says, brothers and sisters, or as some might put it, brethren and sistren, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Let me read from the devotional that goes with that verse. Feeling a little washed up lately? God isn't asking you to float the boat, but to show up with what you have and allow Him to provide the impossible. Jesus Christ was and is the radical game changer. As we fully commit our life to His teaching and become open to God's Spirit, He uses us in wild and impossible ways. Sometimes it's our imperfections which make us the perfect vessel for God's message. There you go. How are we doing on that imperfect vessel meter? Yep, that's me. We are all imperfect. That is what makes us the most useful to God. In our weakness, He makes Himself strong, and He reveals Himself through us. By grace we are saved, and it is that grace that compels us to try to make use of our life while we have breath in our lungs to make a difference. Hence the MAD Radio Network, which, by the way, We are 2 short months away from the start of giving season. Huh? How about that? Giving season starts in October. And I'm going to throw something in front of you that's just going to blow your mind and stretch you like crazy. It's a stretch of my faith. I absolutely believe we can do it, but we are once again reaching across the globe and zeroing in on just something that I think is going to touch your heart. It has ours, and we're gonna go for it. I just almost did something with this group last year, but things just didn't quite come together fast enough on our end for us to make it really work properly. And I think it was fortuitous, because I really believe we were meant to really try to go big. And so we will. That's coming. Just a bunch of imperfect vessels doing whatever we can to make an impact in this world. And no matter what noise goes on around us come election time, we're going to focus on other people. Can't wait. 10 minutes after the hour, take a look at this date in history next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Welcome to MAD Radio Network. Make a difference, Radio Network. And this is The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Great guests on the show today. Jesus Rodriguez. We're going to talk southern border. Former U.S. Border Patrol agent. 20-plus years. Katie Tubbs from the Heritage Foundation. She's an expert on energy. And she will be talking about the executive orders that President Joe Biden is considering to ruin our economy at the behest of climate change emergency. Declaring a national emergency. And allowing that to give him the power to totally ruin our country even further.
Yeah, it's just their excuse for more power grabs, complete destruction of industry, total control of every facet of our lives to make us more green, forcibly, which is actually more destructive.
I think Joe Biden is committing crimes. I think what he's doing right now is criminal. And don't for 1 second stand in front of me and tell me that he's not intentionally, along with some Democrats in Congress and people behind the scenes, attempting to completely transform this country into a socialist nation. Don't even go there, because the evidence is overwhelming. This is an intentional, deliberate effort to ruin this country. Anyway, we'll get to all that. This date in history, July 27th, what do we have here? 1995, the Korean War Veterans Memorial dedicated in Washington, D.C. 1953, the Korean War Armistice is signed in a village on the border between North and South Korea. Panmunjom is the village, which is why the Korean War Memorial was dedicated on this same date, because that's when the armistice was signed. 1940, one of the greatest characters in the history of entertainment was making his debut on the screen. Bugs Bunny.
Oh, really?
1940, A Wild Hare made its debut. If some of the single great comic cartoon shows that we grew up watching that can still be found in limited capacity, if they had tried to come out today, wouldn't have a chance. Our woke culture will show things that are blasphemous, things that are obscene, but my goodness, if you are not woke, you're trashed completely. Bugs Bunny wouldn't have made it. Too many jokes. Too many jokes. Too many guns. Elmer Fudd and the gun. I'm hunting wabbit. Wouldn't be allowed. Orville Wright makes a record flight of 1 hour and 12 minutes and 40 seconds while demonstrating the military flyer, the first military plane at Fort Myer, Virginia in 1909. Still, I will recommend one of the best reads ever is David McCullough's book, The Wright Brothers. Absolutely fantastic. Detailing that entire journey towards flight. Just amazing. And then on this date in 1866, Cyrus W. Field succeeds in laying the first successful transatlantic cable telegraph line. 16 minutes after the hour in the morning show with Preston Scott.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHearts radio station.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before the show started, I watched some of the performances again of United States track and field team in the World Championships. The World Track and Field Championships were held at the University of Oregon. We don't host the World Championships. I don't know if we've ever hosted them. Maybe, but it's been a while. I don't know that we were all that dominant in the field, but on the track, oh my goodness. You ever heard of Sydney McLaughlin?
Yes.
Unreal. Set a world record, described by commentators as Bob Beamon-esque, meaning touching places no one's ever gone before. She was just stunning. She also ran the anchor. She won the 400-meter hurdles in a time that was 1 second. 1 second slower than the average split times in the 400 meters with no hurdles. She ran the 400-meter hurdles just off the pace of what would be leading or in the lead or near the lead in the 400 meters for women. And what she ran in the anchor of the 400 meters with no hurdles? There were just some incredible performances. On the men's side, the women's side, I'm posting four of them, courtesy of NBC Sports, on my blog page. Why? Because it's a nice distraction. Because United States seems to be back in track. They've been a little lately. But my gosh, there's some talent there. And it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch. It just lifted my spirits. And so I'm putting four of the most dominant performances that you can watch a la carte on my blog page. And should I post it now or should I post it at 6:15 tonight so it just lingers all night long? Should I do? Should I put it out there right now since I've just talked about it? Probably ought to do that. Probably ought to do that. All right, so I'm going to hit publish. And publish. So there you go. It'll be up any second now. And you can watch it. I just think it's spellbinding. Now, I needed to do that to overcome my shrieks of panic that are here now. The Choco Taco is gone.
I saw. Sad day.
What do you make of it? I know what Klondike said. Klondike's been making the Choco Taco for 40 years. It was released through Taco Bell for a while. It was a thing. It is a thing. It's amazing because they get the cone wrapped around, and it's like a drumstick stuffed in a cone taco shell. It's amazing. There isn't anything like it. The ratio of ice cream and chocolate and nuts to the cone is, to me, perfect. I love how it's shaped. I love everything about it. They say, you know, in production, you have to make tough choices, and there are more popular products, so we're having to say goodbye. We're working hard to allow the Choco Taco to be sold in ice cream trucks. Like, how many of them exist? But having said that, and how many ice cream trucks are going to exist with the price of gas? I mean, just running around neighborhoods? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. There's an undercurrent running around this choice that if you read the comments around the story, which I do, there's one theme gaining traction, and the theme is that it makes no sense because every time you went to a store, they were gone. They were sold. People bought those things and have for 40-plus years. The theory is wokeism has hit Klondike, and that the Choco Taco...
Cultural appropriation just of saying, a taco...
Just saying, even though Taco Bell embraced it.
Right.
But what does Taco Bell know, right? It's just...
Yeah,
it's,
that entire thing is cultural appropriation.
Exactly. So, I'm just thinking here. There might be more to the Choco Taco story, by golly.
Looking for the truth. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, the Morning Show with Preston Scott, Wednesday on the program. Grant Allen there running the show. I'm here. Next hour, Katie Tubbs, Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about Biden's efforts to use executive orders to declare a climate emergency. Now, I don't think he's done it yet, but he's got plans. Katie's going to talk about them and the problems we are being placed in because of those decisions. I'm going to keep saying this. We're compromised militarily. Our national security is compromised, not because of climate change, because of Joe Biden, because of what Democrats are doing right now. They are going for gold. And by that, I'm simply using that as a metaphor to say everything they didn't do in Obama's terms in office, because they couldn't, they're doing right now in the two-year window they have before you snatch power out of the hands of Democrats and turn Joe Biden into a lame duck president. And you darn well better do it if you want any chance of saving this country, because you won't. You look at what's happened now. They want these gas prices to be the norm. They want this to be the norm. They want businesses to be completely dependent on the federal government. They want people dependent on the government. If they didn't, they would be reversing course. They're not. This is intentional. You just you wait. When I get Kat Kamick on the show next week, I got a few things to talk about with her. Same thing with Michael Waltz. And one of the things I'm going to ask both of them again, are you still... Is still unwilling to say this isn't intentional? It just gets worse. It is absolutely intentional. Parents, I don't know if there are choices out there. I have not researched this that deep. But there's no way I'm buying Merriam-Webster's dictionary for my kid heading back to school.
Oxford's 1821, I believe, is a good one.
They haven't changed the definition of male and female yet?
That one's pretty set in stone, I believe.
Merriam-Webster has.
I saw.
Merriam-Webster, to appease the trans activists out there, once defined as adult human female, the term now is a lengthy definition, including having a gender identity that is the opposite of male.
But what is a female? Because it's not exclusively just opposite male, because anyone can be a male. See, this is the flaw in the logic. They keep making up these words, but they don't know what anything is.
Inside the definitions, I have it blown up here.
Yeah.
Definition 1A, of relating to or being the sex that typically has the capacity to bear young or produce eggs. Having a gender identity that is opposite of male. Made up of usually adult members of the female sex consisting of females. Characteristic of girls, women, or the female sex. Exhibiting femaleness. This is what you're getting from Merriam-Webster now.
Or do we start calling him Mario Webster?
Well, and then there's the definition of male. Made up of usually adult members of the male sex. Usually. So it's infiltrating everything. And my sad prediction of 20 plus years ago on the morning show with Preston Scott, that political correctness was the danger to our culture, has been proven correct. I was right. Back with more in a moment.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
New mayor of Realville. Dispensing information at the speed of sound. It's the morning show with Preston Scott.
On the subject of gender confusion, dysphoria, a mental illness, a social contagion, and that it is. Leah Thomas will not be the NCAA Woman of the Year. Thankfully, the Ivy League has chosen a female fencer from Columbia as its representative. And so the charade for now is over. It will come back again next swim season when we get ready for the next Summer Olympic Games. If Leah Thomas decides to try this ridiculous farce all over again, we're going to have to endure this. He won't be the last. There will be other underperforming men. Cannot compete against their male counterparts, so they decide that for the sake of titles and controversy and the opportunity, look, at what point does this pay off for Leah Thomas? At what point does Nike or one of the woke companies like Adidas step up and sponsor him in commercials promoting feminism? At what point does this fiscally pay off for him to parade himself as a female? And then at what point does a Megan Rapinoe change her mind? When women are being supplanted as corporate media representatives making money by a man. Oh, the irony of it all. All of the whining and complaining about pay, which in the case of women's soccer was fair. They had a legitimate complaint that has been addressed. And I've said that for years. The women, you could argue, should be paid more than the men on the U.S. national soccer team. They were more successful. They were more recognizable. They were more visible. The men's game has closed the gap. But how interesting would it be when Leah Thomas gets her payoff? Sorry, when Leah Thomas gets his payoff as a female representative, because that's the only place you can put him. If you put him as a trans representative, you've defeated the whole purpose of the movement. They're trans. They're not women, right? So you have to embrace the whole woman facade. And that displaces a female, an actual woman. Where will Megan Rapinoe and the feminists be then? The White House announces the sale of an additional 20 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Biden's doing it again. They believe that the release of this oil is the reason gas prices are down. Nope, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. It's a drop in the bucket in terms of daily use of oil. The totality of it compromises our national security. That's what it's there for. We are seeing reduced gas prices because we are not consuming as much gas. We're not driving as much. Demand is down. It has nothing to do with the release of oil. We'll talk more about that next hour with Katie Hubbard of the Heritage Foundation.
Men and women serving our great nation and our armed services, those serving communities as law enforcement officers and first responders. I say, you are all essential workers. Welcome to the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Had a conversation yesterday with a young dad, got kids in elementary school and middle school, and I want to kind of paraphrase and condense that discussion into just a couple minutes here with you while I remind you that we are now in the sales tax holiday for back to school. And it's 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks of it this year. It's incredible. Incredible opportunity. And thank goodness the legislature thought very, very long about that, because with the economy the way it is, you need a little time to spread out your purchases, perhaps. You just do. You still got to buy gas. You still got to buy food while you're getting the kids' stuff, and everything costs more. My conversation, though, with this parent revolved around the reality of where we are. There's where we wish things were. There's the way that the law says things should be. And then there's the way things are. And with the best efforts of Governor Ron DeSantis, with the best efforts of Florida's legislature, we do have a new commissioner of education, Manny Diaz, and he will be great. I personally think Richard Corcoran was busy doing something else. I don't know what he did. I've never been as disappointed by someone serving as commissioner of education that I had such high regard for and that I thought would do a great job that did virtually nothing and was absent. Manny Diaz, I think, is going to be different. I think he's going to be tremendous for Florida's public schools. I think that you will be able to measure that by the reaction you get from school boards like Leon County's that will push back against a lot of things that Manny Diaz wants done. But the reality of what is in your classrooms, too often, requires you parents to send a message at the very beginning of the school year. And I strongly advise this. Make sure you get to know every single teacher. That you go to the open house. Sometimes it's before the school year starts. Sometimes it's the first week. And you take pictures of the classroom. And you have a discussion with your teacher about what things that teacher is going to put up on the walls. And will they be adhering to the curriculum? And you'd like to see the curriculum. Take a picture of the book. Then have a sit down. Make sure that you see the syllabus. Make sure you see what they're teaching and discuss it with your kids. You cannot be an absent parent. I get it. Some of you are working hard. And by the end of the day, the last thing you really need to do is have to basically debrief your children about what went on in school. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not going to pull them and put them in a charter school, a private school, homeschool them, a co-op school, where you do your due diligence in all of those settings as well, if you're not going to do that, your kids are ready to be picked off. Send a message early that you will be involved, parents, and I suspect the school year might go differently than if the classrooms opened up for an open house and a couple parents show up. Your kids are going to be surrounded by a mixed bag. There are going to be some excellent teachers, and there are going to be some terrible teachers. And then there will be teachers that have an absolute agenda to push their ideology, their views, their politics, their philosophies onto your children. They have a captive audience. Don't ever forget that. Parents, you have to be in the game this year. Have to. When we come back, we're going to talk about the effort of the Biden administration to turn climate change into a national emergency. Katie Tubbs joins us from Heritage Foundation. Welcome to the second hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Great to be with you this morning. As always, it's a privilege for us to share time with you. And we thank you, whether you're listening on terrestrial radio throughout the Big Bend of Florida, on through the Panhandle, up to South Georgia, out to the Gulf Coast. All you fishermen out there on your boats, you charter boat captains, good morning. Welcome to the radio program, and wherever you're listening across the Fruited Plain on iHeartRadio, thank you again for your time. We have talked a lot lately. The demands of the news kind of have required it. What has been happening inside the energy sector in America? Not just the decisions by President Biden to damage the energy sector as it relates to fuel, gasoline, diesel, but power in general. And joining us is somebody that knows more than we do. Katie Tubb is a research fellow for energy and environmental issues with the Heritage Foundation. Her specific areas of expertise, nuclear energy and the environment. And Katie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, good morning, Preston. Thanks for having me on.
How scared, worried, concerned should we be?
It depends on what you're talking about. But if you're talking about the state of constitutional limited government, I think there's a lot to be concerned about. And you know, it's been a slow, steady slide, I should say. You could even go back to the common word picture of the slowly warming up pot to cook the frog. I think we're getting pretty close to a point of concern. And I think that was emblematic last week of President Biden's speech on climate, in which he said, Congress isn't doing what I want it to do, and therefore I will do it myself. No matter what party you ascribe to, no matter what you think about climate change, I think that's pretty concerning.
What exactly is he poised to do?
Well, it was rumored that President Biden would announce a formal national emergency on global warming or about global warming last week, and he stopped short of doing that, which is good. But he also promised to do more. So the issue isn't put to rest yet. But basically what he could do is act unilaterally under this national emergency declaration to shut down exports of crude oil, of natural gas, and to be much more aggressive on oil, gas, coal production on federal lands. Certainly he's able to do that now as well, but there's a regulatory process that he has to push through. Whereas a national emergency kind of cuts through that process and lets him go straight to it.
I find it ironic that we find ourselves, while we have this remarkable crunch on supply in the United States, yet we continue to push and export fuel to even our enemies.
Yeah, you know, I think that's where there's been a lot of very important moral discussion of what are we doing and why are we doing it. Certainly, the United States is far better off than our allies in Europe, and it's because we've enjoyed policies that allowed energy abundance, energy production in our country, such that when Russia reinvaded Ukraine, we already had the infrastructure and the energy to be able to make those moral decisions to say, no, we're not going to engage in commerce with Russia. Europe, on the other hand, has spent years to decades breaking down their energy infrastructure such that when Russia reinvaded, they were caught flat-footed and had no options. And so they're currently in discussions about austerity measures so that when winter rolls around, they're not facing a more deadly winter than they otherwise would. And, you know, I think that's worth talking about because President Biden is trying to push the United States down a road, a policy road, that looks very much like Europe's policy. And we know how that experiment plays out. I don't know why we want to pursue that kind of policy agenda.
Yeah, I want to get to that a little bit more. Katie, stand by. We're going to take a quick 70-second break for weather and traffic. Katie Tubbs is with us. And she's a research fellow with the Heritage Foundation. We rely on Heritage Foundation for a lot of guests on a lot of issues where we need more illumination. And so she'll stay with us for a couple more segments here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Welcome to the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world in a positive way, improving the lives of others. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Katie Tubb is with us from Heritage Foundation. Specialty is energy, environmental issues, nuclear energy. We'll get to that as well because I want to talk to her about that nuclear energy issue. Katie, yesterday on the program, we talked about the fact that if you look inside the strategic release of our reserves, which makes no sense when we're not in a time of war, but in a self-imposed crisis, I'm struck by the fact that we are pushing out some of that reserve to China, which has a similar reserve, but yet has only used 7 million barrels of its reserve. While we are using, up to this point, we're looking at better than one-third of our strategic reserves. How is this anything other than compromising to our national security?
Well, the way the Strategic Petroleum Reserve works is it basically set up an auction that if you're a certified buyer, you can purchase through the Department of Energy. So what happened is, in some sense, no surprise that a Chinese company could purchase oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, having already been registered under the Department of Energy's program, is exactly how the SPR works. But it's a really bad look. And I think, to me, it underscores that the SPR was never intended for the purpose President Biden is using it for, which is to bail himself out of high prices that his policies have helped create. So it just underscored for me how feckless this administration is and how they are abusing tools like the SPR for purposes that it was never intended for. So, you know, it was never meant to bail a president out of price increases. It's meant for things like we have a hurricane, we have a strategic or a severe supply shortage that somebody needs to fill and quickly. But that's not what Biden's been using it for.
To that end, and by the way, bonus points for feckless. Well done. The thing that I think concerns me is they're saying that the release of this reserve is bringing prices down. I read a Market Watch piece yesterday that says, no, what's bringing prices down is the fact that Americans are driving less. We're just consuming less, and the market is doing what the market does. When demand is down, prices come back down. Is the president able to take any credit for the prices going down? Because he certainly isn't willing to take any blame for them going up.
Right. No, he can take no credit for the fluctuation in prices. And all you have to do is remember back to the last three times he released oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Prices continued to go up. And so I think the administration is just hoping we forget that. The reason prices are going down is, as you said, demand has slightly decreased compared to last year. Demand is a little bit lower, and it's in part because of these high prices. And B, there's a lot of concern about looking into a recession. And the price of oil is a really good barometer for economic productivity because it's so tied into a huge swath of economic activity. So when you start to see the price of crude oil go down, one reason could be because of recession. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of different financial reports, Goldman Sachs, those types, and that's what they're pegging the price of oil decreasing on is these recession concerns. At the end of the day, President Biden hasn't changed any of his policies, which are designed to increase the price of oil, whether he admits that or not openly. That's what the purpose of those policies are, and that he hasn't changed course in those policies means he has no ownership or responsibility in the price of oil decreasing.
All right, Katie, stand by. Katie Tubb will stay with us one more segment. We're going to segue to the big picture of energy powering America and the contention that I've been making all along. There is no way renewable fuels, as laudable as the goal may be, will ever get it done in our lifetime. So we'll talk about that and options next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
And it's after the hour. Katie Tubb with me from the Heritage Foundation. She is a research fellow for energy and environmental issues with Heritage. We talked last week about an LA Times story. The LA Times actually writing a piece about how solar panels are about to become a massive problem in California. We talked about the fact that replacing batteries to run an electric car costs more than the vehicle itself in many cases. And Katie, the automobile makers seem to be being bullied into making more and more electric vehicles. Can we power them?
Well, that's a really good question, and it gets to grid reliability issues that many states, for that matter, and the federal government haven't talked about, and it's because we've been pursuing what I'll call bumper sticker policies for, you know, 30% renewables by 2030. That's easy to remember, but it doesn't take into account things like grid reliability or affordability, and so we're pushing policies like that on one side, and on the other side, we're pushing policies to force everything onto the grid. And at some point, something's got to give. You know, whether that's going to be an EV fleet of cars in the country or that's going to be the grid itself, you know, I think it's a race to failure there, which one wins. But, yeah, I think these kinds of questions have not been talked about in political circumstances and certainly at the regulatory level.
Well, let's combine your areas of expertise to a certain extent, energy and environment. I mean, the LA Times, of all places, admitting to the fact that we're going solar crazy, but we have no plan for dealing with solar panels, which last 15 to 25 years.
Yeah, I saw that article and was actually very refreshed, pleasantly surprised, because it's the LA Times, of all places, finally pushing the conversation. And basically what it boils down to is, there are always trade-offs. There is no perfect energy technology out there. They all involve pros and cons. But for a long time, the conversation has been wind, solar, electric vehicles have no trade-offs. They're the perfect environmental solution. But the reality is there's a lot of environmental trade-offs, not to mention the economic trade-offs and does this work for my family kind of trade-offs. But that's the kind of conversation that I think many on the left want to pretend doesn't exist.
Michael Schellenberger, you're probably aware of, came out of the woke culture of the Uber climate change people and said, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong about most everything as it relates to climate change. And I was also wrong about nuclear energy. It makes the most sense. Is he right?
I think so. I think Michael Schellenberger has done a really good job trying to communicate perception and reality to people. Nuclear is one of those where he and many others have said, look, we have built a regulatory system around nuclear energy that is more reflective of Hollywood than it is of reality. And that's a real shame, because nuclear brings a lot of good things to the table, one being it produces a huge amount of electricity with a very small footprint, which is about the inverse of wind and solar. It's a huge footprint for very little energy.
And very little efficiency. So let's fast forward here. If the midterms come about and if Republicans manage to not muck it up and hand it over to the Dems one more time, who holds more cards in the grand scheme of climate change and energy policy? The elected lawmakers or the resident of the United States?
Well, the Biden administration has showed that they are willing to play cards whether they have them or not. And so it will take a legal system and a very aggressive Congress to check this administration. But I think Congress can do it, and they certainly need to do it.
Katie, what about states? Can states play the 10th Amendment card and declare some level of autonomy on certain things?
I think we have seen time and time again the role of states being played very well. A great example of that is West Virginia versus EPA, the Supreme Court's final case this term, which put EPA back on its heels and all regulatory agencies. And it was the role of West Virginia pushing where everyone else said, you don't have a case, you're going to lose. And it was basically just political bullying. And West Virginia kept pushing, and the Supreme Court affirmed West Virginia's case there. And so to me, states play an incredibly important role in filling a void that Congress has created and in pushing back against a very activist administrative state.
Last question, quick answer. Given the nature of polling and the fact that we do have midterms coming up and the economy's cratering, gas prices are still remarkably elevated, can the Biden administration afford to declare a national emergency on climate change when it doesn't generally even show up on polling as something people care about?
The New York Times polled that 1% of Americans care about climate change as a top priority. So I would say No, they need to get their act together and start thinking about economic and inflation, recession type issues. So it's time to pivot.
Katie, you're welcome back anytime. I appreciate the knowledge.
Well, thanks for the conversation.
I appreciate it. Katie Tubb with us, Heritage Foundation. And this is what she does. This is what she's researched for the last 10 years plus. And our guest on the morning show with Preston Scott. Time for news.
Sensei of sensibility. Communicator of common sense. Amplified. It's the morning show with Preston Scott.
It's 36 minutes after the hour here on the morning show. Halfway through the radio program, Jesus Rodriguez next hour. Man, we're talking the big stuff today. Huh? Energy? Climate change? The southern border? The invasion that's underway? And then there's this. I just thought this is one of those things that you need to know. The venerable Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, the once trusted source of getting the lexicon right, the little pocket dictionaries we used to bring to school, and our teachers would throw us words that we would have to look up. Wait, what? Huh? Those were the days when teachers actually challenged us. And we got Fs on report cards. And we got zeros for not turning in work. We got zeros for turning in sloppy work. And you had to explain it to mom and dad. And when teachers would use a word you didn't know, you'd have to go to your dictionary, your Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and you'd have to look it up. Nay, nay, not anymore, my friends. I recommend steering clear Merriam-Webster. They've gone woke. And they've gone woke before now. This is wokey woke. This is wokeness gone bad. Gone worse. Gone nuclear. I want to mix my stories from the last half hour to this one. The dictionary of definition of female now includes males who identify. So I'm just telling you, parents, you go ahead, buy that thing. Or you can find another dictionary that has not gone that route. Have we determined whether there is one?
Yes, let me. I know for a fact that there is. It's a historic one. Let me.
We want you to just simply know what you're up against.
Oxford English Dictionary from 1828. So I believe that is still, like, they still print it. So let me check, like, a place like where you can order it.
But have they done a new revised dictionary that's the one that's out there? Has it changed?
No, I think that's the point. Oxford 1828.
I would love to know what common dictionaries, like if you back to school dictionaries, what comes up? What populates? If you do a Google search on back to school dictionaries. And yes, he does type that fast.
We've got Webster's.
Uh-huh.
Merriam-Webster.
Yep.
We've got, yeah. Good Lord, it's like they've got a monopoly. But
right.
I know they don't.
That's right. And that's why we're talking about this, because I need you to push. I need you to push back against this. And I need you, moms and dads, get in the game.
The American Heritage Desk Dictionary. Don't know what that is.
How do they define male and female?
I don't know.
See, we've got to find that out. That's an assignment. We got to find out what are the options.
Parents, on your marks.
We're coming up to August. August means get ready. Get in the game, moms and dads. This is your school system. Your tax dollars are paying for it. You need to remind teachers as needed. And I don't recommend this on day one, but I want you to remember, you pay for the teacher's salaries. You pay the AP's salaries. You pay the principal's salaries. You pay the school board and superintendent's salaries. It's your school system.
Morning Joe with Preston Scott.
What will you do without freedom?
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right. Morning Show with Preston Scott. Grant Allen doing research. What'd you learn?
So I was not able to find what that American Heritage Desk Dictionary was.
Okay.
They don't have an online database. Uh-huh. But Webster's 1828 does have an online platform. So.
Yeah, but it's Webster.
But it's 1828.
I understand
like the
that.
Original dude, Noah Webster.
I get you.
And according to Webster's 1828, a woman, is it woman or female?
Female.
All right, I'll start with woman. The female of the human race.
Okay.
Let's see what female.
A woman.
You'd think. They've got a couple ones, and that includes like even among like animals and plants,
yeah,
things like
and
that.
All that stuff. But, yeah.
Exactly. Pertaining to females, noting the sex which produces young, not male.
There you go. Not male. That's the important part. But again, we're trying to find a dictionary that your kids can go purchase. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway. The big takeaway here is everything's changing to woke. You got to hold your ground. Got to hold your ground. This is a very significant, important issue, the definition of men and women. It's about the security of your kids in bathrooms. Speaking of security of your kids, this is added to the list of concerns with TikTok. And, you know, we were toying with the idea of trying to throw something out there on TikTok. Not going to do it. Joe Rogan's out there saying, no way. They're handing China owns it, and their access to everything through TikTok, no way.
If members of Congress can't have it on their phone because of national security risk, that's all you need
to
know.
That tells you something. Yeah. 3-year-old TikTok star.
What?
Hold on. It's a little girl. Username Ren Eleanor has 17 million followers. Short form video app, TikTok, run by her mother, Jacqueline. The account consists of seemingly innocent photos and videos of the young girl, blonde haired, rosy cheeked little toddler, doing what little toddlers do. Nothing inappropriate, just taking pictures of her playing with the pets and having fun and being a little girl, right? Okay? Here's the problem. Ren's mother began deleting some of the content once her followers and other TikTok sleuths noticed that certain videos were being saved by other users in numbers that sparked concern. The save feature on TikTok allows users to tag videos so they're easier to find. One user noted that a video of Ren wearing a cropped orange shirt was saved more than 45,000 times. A video of Ren holding a hot dog was saved 375,000 times. She also highlighted unsettling comments on Wren's videos and pointed out that popular searches for Wren's account included phrases like Wren, Eleanor, hot dog, Wren, Eleanor, pickle, meaning users were frequently searching for videos of the three-year-old eating or holding a hot dog or a pickle. Now, this story goes on and on, but it reveals, and even the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, started by John Walsh, now run by his son, Callahan, has gotten involved in commenting on this, pointing out that this is how predators work. They use these videos, and some then fix on a person, in this case a child, and they begin to start to prey on them. So parents, get that stuff off TikTok, off your social media sites.
All right, guy, do what you're talking about, what you will be talking, and most importantly, what you should be talking about. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Da-da-da-da-da. Wednesday on the radio program, Jesus Rodriguez talked about the southern border in just a little bit. Lots of things to talk about there. The invasion continues. Checkpoints down there. We'll talk about some of the checkpoints and what's going through. What he's hearing from agents on the southern border. He's still very connected. I mean, the guy worked at southern border, U.S. Border Patrol, as an agent for better than 20 years. He knows people. What I like is it's just unvarnished. It's just, it's not a news reporter. It's somebody that knows what's happening and can speak with knowledge about what's happening. Tax holiday. All right, let's focus on that for just a quick second. For those of you that have kids going back to school, the back to school item list, learning aids selling for $30 or less per item, interactive books, jigsaws, puzzles, toys that teach reading or math skills, tax free. School supplies selling for $50 or less per item, binders, calculators, notebooks, pen pencils, lunch boxes. Clothing selling for $100 or less per item. This is per item now. Backpacks, pants, shoes, shirts, sweaters. Yes, you can find tennis shoes for less than $100, moms and dads. You can be done. Just tell your kids, they're cool. Trust me, I'm your parent.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Oh, wait till you get those moments.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, my.
I'm going to absolutely own it.
What's wrong with buying tennis shoes at the Tractor Supply Company?
Come
There's
here,
nothing
kid.
Wrong with that.
We got a
coupon. Put them on and like them. Personal computers and related accessories purchased for non-commercial home or personal use. Selling for $1,500 or less per item. Flash drives, computer batteries, printers, headphones. Tax-free. So there you go. I'm curious. Do those learning aids have to
be? Yeah, what are those?
Well, I mean, interactive books, jigsaw puzzles, and other toys that teach reading or math skills. Here's my question. Can I buy that stuff now for Christmas?
I mean,
it's for that purpose. Those are things that qualify.
If you get it during the holiday.
I'm thinking so.
It's during the sales tax holiday.
They'll use it this year.
What you do with it later is up to you.
Yeah, might be something that I think about doing there. Just saying. New York Times article. This warms us up to our conversation with Jesus. Cartels and their coyotes are earning $13 billion a year delivering migrants to the United States. $13 billion per year. That's excluding drug revenue. That's just smuggling people across our southern border. What's interesting is that number was a fraction of that in Trump's term in office. We'll talk to our Border Patrol expert, Jesus Rodriguez, in just a few minutes about all that. Hour number three, right around the corner. We've got news, weather, and traffic next. You are listening to The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Average bear. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. It's Grant running the radio program in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, and it is a delight to share time with you. Show number 4746. It's Wednesday, July 27th, and I'm pleased to have back with us our expert on the southern border. Served our country for better than two decades as a U.S. Border Patrol agent, now retired. Jesus Rodriguez, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Fine, and yourself?
Well, I'm doing great, except when I think about the fact that we have an active invasion going on in the southern border. Is that a fair use of the word invasion?
I would probably say yes and agree with you 100% there, because you're seeing unprecedented numbers of people that are quitting out in the field. That doesn't include the groups or the numbers of people that are coming in on the outskirts that the agents are either having not been able to work and to apprehend, and that are getting away. So if you look at some of the past media reporting, the getaways are pretty astronomically high. And so imagine that. That's probably not even an accurate number. That's just a roundabout number.
Well, it kind of leads to what I want to start with. I mentioned in the last segment, Jesus, a New York Times article that delineates a $13 billion a year industry, and that's the cartels running migrants into the country. Speak to that a little bit.
That does not surprise me. That number does not surprise me one bit whatsoever. Because you're looking at like I mentioned in the previous discussion that we had, all these cartels are all connected from wherever the sending country is at, whether it's Latin American countries or European countries or even from China. So they're all it's a huge tentacle of people that are taking money as they move bodies from point A to their final destination. So it's a lot of money that changes hands. And so, in the past, you would look at people coming from Mexico that would pay in excess of $3,000, maybe sometimes more. Central Americans are paying a lot more. Your Chinese nationals were probably in the excess of $20,000. So I'm sure that's gone up, exponentially in these past years. And so now the agents are seeing out there is that a lot of them are being driven as close as they can to the border, dropping them off and pointing them north. And they walk, jump the vehicle barriers, or come in through open areas and just sit there and wait for the agents to come pick them up.
You shared something in an email to me that was, as I thought through it, I kind of went through the exercise of what does the average person in America think of when they think of southern border security checkpoints and so forth. And we probably have this image of round-the-clock protection at all of these points, and that our border has some form of security across the entire southern part of the country. But that's just not the case, is it?
No, in some, in a lot of the border states, you have points of egress to come off the border. So you have border patrol checkpoints where agents are sitting there looking at, you know, coming in, vehicles come to the checkpoint, they're checking the vehicles that come through and the passengers that are in there. The problem is that with the chaos, if you will, that's happening in Del Rio, a lot of these agents are getting detail from other sectors, especially like from the Arizona area, and they're having to go to work in the Del Rio sector, which you're pulling manpower from these areas and send them to Texas. And so, I mean, there's going to be, you're going to suffer a lack of agents out in the field. And the checkpoint is one of those areas. So the checkpoints are down and they come out of, off, you know, into areas of like the Tucson area or headed into Phoenix and I-8, I-10. So, there's a lot of, things that can be moved, you know, people, narcotics.
Jesus, stand by. Jesus Rodriguez with us. Better than two decades, U.S. Border Patrol agent, our guest. We're going to pick up right there in the morning show with Preston Scott.
New mayor of Realville, dispensing information at the speed of sound. And if you're lucky, he'll be wearing his Clark Kent glasses today. The morning show with Preston Scott.
Jesus Rodriguez with us, former U.S. Border Patrol agent. We're just talking about what's coming across the border. And I've seen a couple of stories of late, Jesus, indicating that people on the terrorist watch list are coming through in numbers that we haven't seen in a while. Are you hearing the same from your sources?
Some of the agents are privy to some of that information that's out there. But I do know that there's a strong possibility that it exists. And what's happening is that, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, is that you have these people that are coming across and just basically sitting on our side of the fence or the barriers. So the agents are having to deal with these groups. But now you have people coming on the outskirts away from where the agents are at. They don't want to be caught. So who knows what's coming through in some of those open areas. And what's happening is that you have these large groups of illegal aliens coming across the border. And as they come across, they start to split up into twos and threes, which makes it a lot harder for the agents to work. So who knows, in essence, what is coming across, and where they're coming from. I mean, what's the purpose of their crossing? They don't want to be caught. I mean, they don't want to be processed. So there's a reason why they're avoiding the agents.
Help me understand something, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago here on the program. I can't figure out, with the amount of fentanyl coming into the country, why do the cartels want fentanyl into the country when it kills people? And I mean, from a business perspective, what makes sense in that?
To me, it's just the amount of money that they're making off of it. I mean, it's so plentiful And goes back to what I mentioned about the checkpoints. So you have people coming through the checkpoints, and these cartels are using the social media to get people to come down to the border to pick up, you know, bodies or to pick up narcotics. And I mean, the amount of narcotics that's coming through some of these checkpoints, I mean, it has to be pretty high because they're open, it's wide open. I mean, and you can see the amount of traffic when the checkpoints are up. And then when the checkpoints are down, the traffic just picks up dramatically because they know, the scouts know. And so there is money to be made off of it.
Yeah, but it's a loss leader. And in that, I mean, I can't get my brain around the fact that, you know, for drugs to be useful to a cartel, they need addicts. They need users. Fentanyl kills people. And fentanyl-laced pills kill people, and it causes people to stop buying certain things or doing certain things because the fear outweighs the rush that someone gets in using the drug. So in essence, fentanyl kills off their market. That's why I can't get my brain around why fentanyl's coming in.
I think they're addicts, Preston, and then I mean, they're going to take whatever they can to get that next high. Maybe the whatever they're taking, you know, or ingesting the core is no longer giving them that high that they're seeking. So they look for something a little more stronger. And so, I mean, to me, that's, I mean, that makes good sense. But I mean, I think that's part of it, is that they're seeking that high, that a better high for them to, in order to continue in that sense.
When you look at, you know, I've got a story here in front of me from Town Hall that talks about the jaw-dropping number of illegal immigrants gotaways. What's a gotaway inside the industry?
So what happens is when the agents are tracking the group, whether it's on motorcycles or horseback or on foot, and they get to a spot where what we call a loadout spot, where the illegal aliens have been picked up by a vehicle, or they went into a house and eventually got picked up by a vehicle, you're looking at footprints that have been left behind. What you're doing is you're kind of guesstimating how many were in that group that got into that vehicle or, you know, evaded apprehension. So it's really just a guess. You really don't know exactly how many. And I will add to it, Preston, that in the past, the illegal aliens used to just wear basic shoes, you know, and tennis shoes, working boots, whatever the case may be. Now what these cartels are doing is that they're outfitting them with carpet, what we call carpet. So if you can think of just a piece of carpet wrapped underneath the sole of your boot or your shoe, and they tie it up, so it makes the what we call cutting sign a lot harder. You can't follow that footprint as easy. And it takes some experience and a lot of work to recognize that out in the field that they're wearing carpet booties. So they're, you know, you have to follow those footprints, if you will, that the carpet's leaving behind, if it does leave anything behind.
Wow. Hey, Zeus, stand by. We got another segment to go when we come back. Have you ever heard of Borstar? Borstar. We'll tell you what that means and its relevance to the story of what's going on the southern border. Jesus Rodriguez, former U.S. Border Patrol agent, my guest on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA at WFLAFM.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
One final segment with Jesus Rodriguez. Once a month, we talk with him. He's a retired U.S. Border Patrol agent, decades of experience on the southern border, still talking to members of Border Patrol. And I mentioned Borstar. Describe what Borstar is and why it's so important. Jesus? Hello?
Sorry about that, person. Okay. Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that. The Borstar guys are a specialized group of agents that are deployed out in the field, wherever they are on the southern border, even the northern border, and some of the coastal areas. And they are EMTs. They have some very specialized training on the extraction of people that are injured in mountains, in waterways. They're a very dedicated group of agents, and they are one of the group of agents that can provide first aid triage to illegal aliens that are out in the desert, out in the area, that are injured, anything from, I mean, your blisters all the way to, I mean, even CPR. They are on some of the helicopter flights that are out in the field as well, because not only are they looking out for the illegal aliens out in the field, but they're also tending to agents that may have been injured. Even some of the citizens that are out there, just, you know, let's, for instance, you know, hunting or anything else like that, they get injured. They're also out there to help, to assist them as well.
Yeah, it should be pointed out that according to data from the government, in the 33 counties in Texas and Arizona, they found just under 700 migrant bodies since Joe Biden took office. The problem's not getting better. It's getting worse. But yet there's this kind of dichotomy, Jesus, and we were just talking about it. There are more apprehensions of young people that are, you describe them as fresh and showing very little signs of having made a long journey at all.
Right, and that's true, because now these cartels are bringing them, driving them up to the close to the Canada border and dropping them off. So they can tension that they're injured or they're not feeling well, but by and large, a lot of these groups are no longer having to, you know, ones that are quitting, as we call quitters, you're not seeing that big increase in medical attention. It's the ones that are probably crossing out on the outskirts that are probably having injuries, or they may need medical attention and even dying out there. And to add to it, a lot of these cartels give these people that are crossing out there like an ephedrine type pill that makes them walk faster and further. It dehydrates them a lot faster, though, and that's one of the issues that you would see out, especially out in the desert in the summertime. That dehydration is very big out here.
What about recruiting? What about the sheer numbers? Are you losing numbers from the ranks? Because I got to believe agents are getting sick of being told that they're not being nice enough.
So, like any other law enforcement agency that's out there right now, everyone's looking for officers, for sheriff deputies, for troopers, for Border Patrol agents. Everyone's recruiting. You're having a large influx of agents that are retiring. Some of them because they feel it's time for them to go. Some of them are leaving because they're leaving early in retirement. They don't have to, but they're punching out early because of what's happening with the way the administration is treating the agents and what's happening out in the border, that there's no longer the support that we had under President Trump. That support is long gone. You're basically demonized like most law enforcement agencies are, and you know the illegal aliens have a lot more rights, and if they feel that they're being mistreated or maybe not given what they're supposed to be given, they can complain to their consulate, and it just goes from there. Or the NGOs, it's a completely different game than what it was years ago. And I'm not saying that in the past they were treated rudely. No, not at all. They were treated very well. But now they've taken it to a different level.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do states have much of a choice but to call in the National Guard if numbers keep dropping?
The National Guard provides a lot of assistance because they have a lot of technology and so that helps out in the field. The problem is, Preston, is that you can provide the technology, you can put eyes on groups, put eyes on backpackers as they bring narcotics in. The problem is having the number of agents to work that traffic, because if they're so busy dealing with the large groups of quitters, you're tied up. You can only do so much, and you can only work so much of the traffic. So, unfortunately, I will tell you that there is traffic that's gonna happen. And like I said, that number to me is probably, I don't think it's a true representation of what's really gotten in the way.
As always, I appreciate the information and the time. Jesus, take care. We'll talk next month.
Thanks, sir. Take care.
All right, Jesus Rodriguez, former Border Patrol agent. Thank you for serving, my friend. Fewer and fewer of you out there. Here in the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Clouded world. Consider him your truth detector. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Listen to Jesus Rodriguez talk about the southern border. It is so hard to feel any sense of security. We are being invaded. And those breaking the law are being assisted by members of the federal government. The resident of the United States is aiding and abetting. When I said yesterday that I believe that Joe Biden is guilty of crimes as president? I mean it. He is authorizing, he is detailing, he is dictating policy. And whether you want to buy into the idea that it's really not sleepy, poor Joe, it's Obama and Obama's people behind the scenes running everything. Biden's name is still on it. He owns it. It's him. What's happening on the southern border is a crime. I'm not saying that figuratively. It's a crime what's going on today. No, it's a crime what's going on at the southern border. It's criminally, in my opinion, prosecutable. I don't understand how he's being allowed to do this. We could spend a day going through one issue after another, where we just look at each other and go, how is this happening? COVID. Military. People still being mandated to get the shots that are treatments that really don't treat all that well, that if anything appear to be a magnet. You've got the vaccine, you appear to be far more likely to be getting sick than people that didn't. How is this possible? It's against the law to make people get an experimental vaccine. Why is this being allowed? What the heck is going on? That's not even the big story in the press box. Big story. You know, the big story in the press box is that Merriam-Webster's dictionary has changed the definition of female and male to include the other sex. I was reminded by the lead research assistant of the morning show with Preston Scott that most kids use online dictionaries now, so good luck. So, we can help. Let's find an online dictionary source that does it the right way. So Webster's 1820 dictionary? 1829. 1840. Do I hear 1860? 18...
Joe with Preston Scott.
They're going to get a... Knock, knock. Who's there?
On WFLA.
Webster's 1828 dictionary. There any other online dictionaries that you might think are reliable?
The only other one, dictionary.com. I don't know what they say. Let's check it out.
And you know, it's simple. Do they list, are they getting into transgenderism? Are they getting into wokeness? Are they tying into males can be females and females can be males? It's real simple. Are they them? Proper grammar for a singular personal pronoun?
Well, based on this definition, no, doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Dictionary.com has female, woman. Yeah, seems safe. Pretty straightforward. Man? Yeah.
So far, so good. So dictionary.com?
Seems fairly reliable so on far. Select words, yes. Yeah.
Check it for yourself, but if your kids have to use an online dictionary, give them a source. Tell them where to go. And if a teacher's making them go to Merriam-Webster, question the teacher. Just saying. You got to be in. You've got to be engaged. If you're going to put your kids in the experimental bubble that is public education, you've got to be in. You have got to be attending open houses. You've got to be attending parent-teacher conferences. You have got to be looking at the classroom, taking a few pictures, making sure that they're not putting any other posters up. You got to make sure that their personal philosophies. You know, I'll tell you one question I would ask a teacher. Will my son or daughter know whether you are a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent? Yes or no? Will my son or daughter know your personal opinions on any number of topics that are out there in the news? Yes or no? Put them on guard immediately. And I know it stinks, but you know what? A good teacher won't mind that one bit. Because a good teacher doesn't go there. A good teacher teaches the subject matter. And then to that end, make sure you know what the subject matter is. Make sure you know what the curriculum is. That's like huge. And we're going to devote an entire hour of one show early in August. Dr. Ed Moore's coming in. That's his wheelhouse, education. Former president of the Independent Colleges and Universities of Florida. Passionate about education. Candidly, I've been trying to get him to run for superintendent of education in Leon County for years. We need credibility to come back into schools. We're going to talk with you parents, and we're going to give best practices. We're going to try to set you on a path to be an informed, engaged parent. I'm devoting an hour to that. And it doesn't apply to just one school district. Nationwide, we're going to help you out. I was going to talk about immigration real quickly. Guess what the five states are that are leading migration to their states? Number one, Florida. Number two, Texas.
Yep.
Number three, Arizona. Number four, North Carolina. Number five, South Carolina. Number six, Tennessee. Number seven, Georgia. Guess what's on the bottom?
California.
Losing the most people by a massive margin, California, New York. Huge numbers. I mean, massive numbers. Then Illinois, Massachusetts, Louisiana, interestingly enough, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia.
You reap what you sow.
Not just that, 12 of the top 15 states for job creation, 16 of the top 20 states with the lowest unemployment rates, all led by Republicans.
Now leave your voting patterns at the state line.
Yes. Come on. We'll take you in. But you leave that voting habit back where you came from. You come here a new creation. Praise the Lord. Looking at pictures that Jesus sent me of the carpet booties. Dude, these are manufactured. Camouflage tops, laces, and carpet on the bottom to show no footprint. That's like an industry. Making carpeted booties for illegals to use in migration. That's unreal. What do I get for my $20,000 to illegally break into America? I get a pair of booties. Camo carpeted booties, my friends. That's what I get. Oh, good grief. Hey, quick reminder here before we set up tomorrow's program and wrap up for the day. Back to school holiday in Florida. If you're listening in South Georgia, I can't help you. I don't know. I don't know what you people do up there. I mean, I look around and I'm seeing Stacey Abrams as the leading candidate for governor as a Democrat, and I'm thinking, what are you people doing up there? Come on, peaches, let's go. And I know I'm going to hear from some of you saying, it's not our fault. Come on now. You let Abrams get elected? Something's wrong with you. And I'm not suggesting doing what Democrats did, and that is cheat They're already preparing to do that in some counties in Georgia. There's no doubt in my mind. They're ramping up and getting ready for the next pandemic to hit, just in time to change election law again. I hope Republicans are lined up at courthouses, attorneys ready. Anyway, Florida sales tax on things runs for 2 weeks, ends on August 7th. So you've got some time to get stuff. So take advantage and save some money. Get some gear that your kids need for school. If you're sending them to school, they're staying at home, you'll still be able to save a few bucks on stuff. So it'll be helpful.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
A look back at the radio program in 180 seconds or less. Start with our guest, Jesus Rodriguez, U.S. Border Patrol, retired. Better than two decades as an agent, telling us what is happening on the southern border and where are we going to find people to serve as agents. Who wants that job? You do your job and you say a bad word, you're going to be disciplined. You don't give people breaking into our country everything that they think they're entitled to, you're going to be called on the carpet. Who wants that? They're breaking into the country. Sorry. It's not that complicated. But we've made it that way. Again, I think Joe Biden's committing crimes. Talk to, speaking of, the president / resident of the United States, trying to evoke executive orders, using executive actions to say we're in a national emergency because of climate change. Because it's hot in a few parts of the country and moving. It's not staying that way. It's moving. It's called the weather. It's a phenomenon. It's called the weather. So we talked about energy. We talked about the potential destruction that Biden executive orders could wreak on our economy that's already reeling. And this on something that 1% or less of this country cares a rat's rear end about. A CNN poll showed 1% or less of respondents care about climate change. It's just not on the radar. Why? Because it doesn't exist. It's the weather. Talked about the Merriam-Webster Dictionary changing the definition of male and female. Leah Thomas no longer under consideration as the NCAA Woman of the Year, which makes sense because he's a dude. But maybe the biggest story of all, Choco Tacos going away. But are they gone because of wokeness? I'm just asking. I don't know. Tomorrow, busy show. Attorney Todd Callender talks COVID in the third hour.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.